Well, again, good morning. It's good to be in God's house this morning. I was looking for Brian. I was going to say, Brian, the only thing he didn't tell us is where that class is going to meet. Now, they've been meeting upstairs down the hall, so if not, we'll find them and help guide you to them next week. So, but I've got an analytical mind. I'm a C personality, a high C personality, which means I'm analytical, always thinking and trying to go through things and think through things and making sure we got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and all that stuff. But I will have to say, I have never stayed up all night thinking about, are we going to celebrate Christmas in heaven? But this morning, we've titled the message, Impressional Church. And we're going to look at what that means. And we're going to look at two familiar passages of Scripture, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And then also Acts chapter 2, the part that I read earlier, 42 through 47 there. You know, perhaps you've heard the story. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about the story that we've heard before. Perhaps that the young family that as they were walking out the door for church on Sunday morning, they decided what they were going to do. And their young couple asked the elderly pastor that day, their senior pastor. He was in his, like I am, I guess, in his senior years. But they asked him over for supper or for dinner that day after church service. And while the husband and the wife were in the kitchen putting the finishing touches on dinner, then the young man was in the living room, the pastor, I mean, was in the living room with their little son, and he just asked the preacher, just trying to stir up conversation. I mean, the preacher asked the boy, just trying to stir up conversation, said, "Do you know what we're having for lunch today or for dinner today?" And the little boy said, "Yep, we're having goat." And the pastor looked at him like, "That's unusual." So he just asked him, he said, "Are you sure?" That's what he said, "Yep." As we walked out the door for church this morning, Daddy said, "Well, today's as good a day as any to have the old goat for dinner." So I knew that's what we were having. The father's words made an impression on that little boy that he remembered. It made an impression there. You see, what we do all day long makes an impression. And we need to make sure what kind of impression we're making. What has made an impression on you lately? Because things that we're around us every day are making impressions on us. Certainly the events of the political scene, as we're in the middle of an election season, have made an impact on not only on you, on me, on our nation, but around the world. The rising cost of our economy and inflation are making an impression on us all. People that you come in contact with every day, you're making an impression on them, they're making an impression on you. We're all making impressions. Impressions are being made daily. Perhaps a more pertinent question for us as God's children is, what impression have you made on others this week? What impression have you made on others? See, as we walk along life's road, we're daily making impressions on those that we come in contact with, even those that we don't realize or that we don't think about making an impression on. And it has been said that the world is making an impression on the church. The question is the church making an impression on the world? And I'm afraid that the impression that we, the church in North America, have been making over the last few years may not be the impression that Jesus, our Lord, intended us to make. It may not be His intended impression. Our first point today is our commission, His impression that He intended us to give. He gave us in our commission and what we are supposed to be doing. Jesus gave us a clear edict on how to do this. And in one of His final teachings in Matthew 28 that we're going to read, what we are to carry out, He gave us those teachings, His commission. And it's a commission, it's not a suggestion. It's what we are to do. You know, if you've been in the military, perhaps you understand commission better than any of us, because that was your orders of where you were to go, what you were supposed to be doing, what were you to do next. And as we walk along life's highway, we have a commission of what we are to be doing, what we are called to do. And so Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says this. Says, "Now the 11, oh, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead too far there, 19, verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Father God, thank you for this, the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher now and lead us in understanding our part in what we can do with this verse, these verses, as you have commanded. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus gave us these words for a reason. He spoke these words in an attempt to make an indelible impression on our hearts, on our minds, and on our souls. Jesus gives us these words as our commission. And he is saying, if my life made an influential impact on your life, then I want you to do likewise to make an influential impact on the lives of others. To leave an indelible impression on the lives of men. Let's look at two factors that Jesus gives us in this passage. First one is our goal. The goal. This is actually point number two. The first one was the commission. Point number two is the goal. Jesus first gives us a goal, and that goal is to make disciples. When we read this, the first thing he says is to go and make disciples. He says, make disciples as you go about your daily routine. You know, as we've been, one of the words that I wrote down here to talk about is, as we've been studying on Sunday nights and we've looked at the strengths of the church, what are the strengths of the church? We've looked at what are some of the needs in the community that we do. And last week we looked at the functional structure. What is functional structure in the church and what does that mean for us? And one word that's come up all 3 weeks is the word intentional. We need to be more intentional. In fact, one of the ladies that is one of our quilt makers even said one of those nights, you know, when we give quilts, we need to be more intentional about sharing Jesus with those people that we give quilts to. And everything that we do, we need to be intentional. We need to be intentionally speaking about who Jesus is and what Jesus intends us to do. And we need to be intentional about speaking to people about Christ and what God has done in their life and what God wants to do in their lives as well. And we first must remember that this is not just a statement that Jesus is giving us. It's not just a suggestion. Hey, I would like for you to go and do this. This is a commission. It is that commission. We are commissioned to go and to do. We are commissioned. It is our obligation to follow up on this commission. Jesus is giving us the responsibility and the authority. Because in the verse that I did not read, verse 18, he says, all authority has been given to him, and now I give it to you. All authority, he's given us the responsibility, but he's also given us the authority to complete this task, to go and to make disciples. When you set out on any journey or any task, there is always a goal to be accomplished. There's always a goal to be accomplished. Here, Jesus gives us the goal that he wants us to accomplish, that is to go, G-O. And make disciples as you go. He also gives us a strategy, as one way you might say it, is to win them, to wet them, and then to educate them. And so we're to win them, we're to lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. Now we don't actually lead them, we lead them to the point where the Holy Spirit can convict them of their need for Christ. And so he gives us this strategy to follow, but many churches and many Christians get this out of order. They've got to baptize them first and then do this. Oh, they've got to get their lives right first and then we do this. That's not what Scripture teaches. Jesus was clear, I think. He understood perfectly that you must win a person to faith before you can baptize them in faith. Otherwise, the baptism would be for naught. That's why we, from the baptistry, we always say that this has nothing to do with saving, with your salvation. It is an outward demonstration of what's already happened inside you. Jesus also knew that we've got to baptize them, win them to faith, and then baptize them before we can teach them all things about Christ and all things of Scripture. They can learn some as they go, but they're going to grow in Christ after they have accepted Christ. And this is why Jesus spent so much of his time meeting the needs of others. He realized that first we must meet a man's needs for him to believe that we truly care about him and about his family. When we do win a man and win a man's trust with our deeds by doing something, showing them that we truly do care, that doesn't mean you have to give away everything that you have, but you have to do something monumental. You just have to show people that you care, and I use that phrase a lot. We must show people that we care, but when we do win a man's trust with our deeds and our actions, then we have the opportunity to win his ear to hear the gospel of the message of Jesus Christ. It's much easier when someone knows that you care about them for them to open their heart, open their ear to hear what you have to say about Christ. Once we win the trust of a person, the Holy Spirit can work in his or her heart to change a life and perhaps the lives of many. Jesus gave us these words to impress upon us to do as he did, to love and to care people into discipleship, and then to baptize them and to teach them to observe all of Christ's teachings, all of Scripture, because Christ's teachings can be found throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So what impression is this church making on the world around us? Central Baptist Church has a rich history. Sure, it's had its ups and downs. Every church does. Every church will. We will continue because we live in the flesh and we live in a fleshly world. But there is a rich history here. A rich history of lives that have been touched and souls that have been saved over the last 76 years. And for that, we need to celebrate. We should always celebrate those lives. Those that will come today, but also because of what's been happening over the last 76 years. We should celebrate the fact that those who have labored here for the past 76 years have made it possible for you and me to be here today to worship and to praise God and to minister as a church family, as they did in years gone by. However, the founders of this church, I believe, did not expend all that labor with the thought that one day the people of this church would just be able to sit back and enjoy life and not carry out the Great Commission. That's not what they intended. I just truly believe that, and I believe that you believe that and you realize that as well. Now, I do not want to dwell on the past because we were not given the past to lean on. We were not given the past to do anything but to learn from. We're given the past so that we can learn from the past, so that we can live better today and we can prepare for it even better tomorrow. See, as long as you are alive, no matter what your age, as long as you are alive, as long as you are breathing, God has a work for you to be involved in. Each one of us has different gifts and abilities to accomplish the task at hand. But for all of us, we are commissioned to go and to make disciples. Each one of us has something different. Pam and I received a gift from one of our members a couple of weeks ago. And when I opened the box and I saw it was a beautiful handcrafted gift that was given us. And I was just standing there in awe, you might say, because of that. And I know what that person does. That person is doing that to do things and give things away for Jesus Christ. And I know people like that in this church also that are doing things for those who are coming forward and being baptized and how they're doing that. And they don't want recognition. They're not doing it for recognition. They want to do it because it's what they believe God has called them to do at this point in their life. No matter who we are, no matter what our stage in life, we all have a part that we can do. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. Ability to accomplish the task at hand, which is to fulfill the Great Commission. And do you believe the church on the community around us? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that that's what God has us here for, that we are to make an impression on the people around us? Three of you do. That's good. At least that we got to start. Okay, God's intent for us is to make an impression on everyone that we come in contact with. If they see us and they see Jesus Christ. Remember the illustration with the water last week. When you probe around inside one of those glasses, all you feel is water. And I said that, use that as an illustration to say, when someone probes around you, they should experience nothing but the Holy Spirit. God's vision is for us to be an impressionable church. And if you want to be an impressionable church, then we need to go and make disciples. As we are going, we are to share Jesus Christ. That is the first part of the command of our commission. And it is for us, and it should encompass our goal. Our goal is to make disciples as we go. And then our third point this morning is the strategy. The strategy. God gives us a strategy in here. I laid it real simple a while ago, but I'll make it go into it a little bit here. The strategy. Now, would you agree that the purpose of this church includes making disciples? Yeah, do this because it's true, okay? Now, there's a couple of you back there who went. At least you're agreeing with me, I guess, there. Nodding off there. It is. You are to take newborn disciples, and we are to grow them into mature believers who in turn can lead and teach others the same way. Somewhere along the line, our churches have kind of fallen off there. We're not doing the job that God has called us to do, that the early church did. And we can see that through Scripture and understand why, or understand that that's true through Scripture. We're to take newborn disciples and to grow them into mature believers who in turn can lead others and can help grow them up. I read about a pastor, about 2 years ago, who someone asked him, a young believer had come to him, he'd only been a Christian for a month, and he said, you know, you was preaching and talking about we're supposed to help bring up other people. He said, I've only been a Christian for a month. I don't know how to do that. I don't even know it myself. And the pastor looked at him and said, well, how much of the Bible do you know? He said, well, I don't know that much of the Bible. He said, well, what have you read? He said, I've read John, the book of John. He said, good, then go teach that to somebody else. You see, everybody, as a believer, you have something that you can help someone else to grow in that way. And this is the strategy that Jesus demonstrated for us and that he left us in this commission. It is up to you to determine how God has best gifted you to carry out this strategy. Seek it out. That's for all of us. We are to seek it out. But you must do your part. You can't wait and sit back and wait for someone else to do it. Wait for the new pastor to get here. Let's wait until I retire and then I'll do it. Let's wait until the kids are out of college and then we'll take care of it and then we'll do it. You must do your part every day of every week of every year. This is why God has you here. It's not to wait until a certain stage in your life. That's the strategy, is to go and to do these things. And every strategy must have a good implementation plan. One thing is certain, your strategy must include the words, as you go. As we're walking through life, as you go, do these things. Jesus said, as you go about life, make disciples. And I'm confident that God has placed everything that this church needs to carry out his strategy right here. It's all right here. And that's what I do when I go into churches as a coach and as a leader of coaches, is I go in to help them, not to tell them what to do or not to say, hey, here's some things I've seen, here's some great things, let's do this because a church in Louisville did it, and it worked great at the church in Lexington did it. In fact, I counsel against that. And I say, don't do that. Don't copy models, capture principles. Don't do it just because it works somewhere else. What I want to do is to help churches to unearth what God has already placed right here in your pews. Because that's the only thing we've got to work with. The Holy Spirit can use whatever it is to accomplish God's great will and God's great purpose. As you go, do these things. And I'm confident that God has placed everything that we need right here to carry out his strategy. And I know this because he said so in his word. You will lack nothing to win, to develop, and to mature believers for his kingdom cause when you do it in his power. Jesus' strategy is a great example. It's a good example for you and me in all things. Jesus' strategy was simple, it was relevant, and it was intentional. I like relevant and intentional. Actually, I like simple too, but we must be intentional about being the church that God has called us to be. We must be intentional about making disciples. We must be intentional about showing the world that we care as we go. Not, you know what, I'm just too busy today. I got to go take care of this. I'll deal with you later, or I'll help you out later, or I'll pray for you next week when I think about you. And a lot of times that happens. Sue Ellen, I'll pray for you this week, and then we forget it. And we see Sue Ellen coming to us next Sunday. We say, oh, God bless Sue Ellen, what she was going through this past week. We must be intentional about what we're doing and doing for Christ as we go. Every church and every believer must have a strategy. You must have a strategy of what we're doing. Jesus' strategy was simple, relevant, and intentional. I must be intentional about speaking to the grocery store clerk about what God has done for me or is doing for me. I must be intentional about sharing with the bank teller that God loves her. I must be intentional about showing my neighbors that I am a caring contributor to the neighborhood. I must be intentional about sharing the love of Christ with whomever I come in contact with. Now, am I great at that? Don't ask my wife, but I'll tell you, no, I'm not. But we must be intentional. Jesus was intentional in his life walk, was he not? I mean, think about Jesus. Was he intentional? Of course he was. Not only was he intentional, he was relevant. He made certain that his teaching was relevant. He used illustrations and object lessons that everyone understood. When Jesus taught, he used seeds and grain and boats and fish. He used those objects, those things that people knew what he was talking about, and he could still do that today. When someone came to Jesus with an ill or a dying relative, Jesus showed true compassion. Jesus was relevant. You know, when the rich young ruler came to him and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Because of his heart, Jesus said, "You must go and sell everything that you own. Then follow me." And what did that guy do? He turned around and walked away. That was too much for him. Jesus hit him where it was relevant. And then a little bit later, another man comes to him and says, "Let me go and bury the dead. Or let me go and bury my father." Now, what he was saying is his dad wasn't dying. We believe that he was just going to go away. "Let me go live with my father until that and take care of the matters like you're supposed to do, like Scripture teaches." And Jesus didn't tell him, "Go and sell all that you have," like he told the rich man, did he? He didn't tell him the same thing. He said, "Let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me." Jesus was relevant. Whoever came up to him, wherever he was at, wherever his situation he found himself is in, and his relevance showed his compassion and his compassion and his caring mindset. You see, Jesus cared about people, and they knew it was not just superficial. They knew it was genuine. His message and his ministry was not only relevant, it was not only intentional, Jesus' message was also simple. Now, simple does not mean easy. A lot of people get that confused. People confuse simple with taking the easy way out. That's not necessarily true. Simple means uncomplicated. It means it's clear cut. It's easy to grasp. It's easy to understand. Doesn't mean it's simple. And let me tell you, folks, the Christian walk is not always simple. Jesus' message was simple. To simplify means to get rid of the clutter. There are TV shows on, perhaps some of you watch. I've never watched one of them, but I've seen the previous commercials for them and stuff, where experts, so-called experts, go in and they help people unclutter their houses. The experts attempt the homeowner to simplify that homeowner's life, to clear out the clutter. We need to learn to practice that ourselves. Jesus knew simple. He practiced simple. We try to complicate things. We try to overcomplicate things. When Jesus said, just go and share, go and tell, go and do. And as you're going, do these things. Jesus knew simple. He practiced simple. He practiced uncomplicated. Even his instructions, you've heard me say this before, even his instructions to become a disciple were simple. At times it was follow me. Other times it was come. Or on those really in detailed depth times that he was really feeling theological, he said, come, follow me. He used three whole words. Jesus understood and he practiced simple. And he did it intentionally. And he did it with relevance. Central Baptist Church, our goal is to make disciples. Our strategy is to make disciples as we go. God places skilled and talented people among you to lead you in mapping out strategies to reach your God-given goal. And more importantly, he has given you this: his Bible, his word, his guidebook, his instruction book. It's his guidebook with step-by-step instructions on how to go and to make disciples. See, folks, it's all about following him. It couldn't be more simple. But we try to complicate things, do we not? Now, I do not believe for a minute that Central Baptist Church's founding members planted this church here with the idea that it would be a good place for a church for about 50 to 60 years, something like that. I don't believe that for a minute. This church was planted out of a passion to serve God and to see people won for Christ until his return. And that's what our goal and our strategy is. Do you believe this? Do you believe that's what we're supposed to be doing here? Our goal is to make disciples, very clearly stated throughout Scripture, but in our passage this morning too. Our strategy is to do it as we go, to win them to Christ, lead them to Christ, to baptize them, and then to grow them up in Christ. Our task is to lead people through love to salvation by the blood of Christ, to baptize them in the name of Christ, and then help them to learn all the teachings of Christ so that they might wholly follow Christ. Now, how can we know that this works? How can we know that this strategy and this plan, this commission that God gave us really works? Because God said it, for one. But we can also just look at the early church. Look at the church found in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. We'll see the formula, how this formula that God gave us works. I read it earlier. I'm going to read it again. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42 to the end of the chapter. It says this: "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and of prayers. And all, A-W-E, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day," or daily, "those who were being saved." Whether it's 20 years, 30 years, or 76 years, it's a long time to us. Yet to God it is less than one breath. The question is, are we going to make a difference with our next breath? Are we, you and me, are we going to make a difference with the breath that God has given us? You are able to meet here today because a group of people cared enough to follow Christ's example and to follow Christ's goal and His strategy to make disciples. A church was planted here 76 years ago so you would have a place to meet today. What will those people meeting here in 2050 celebrate because you were here 28 years earlier? What will they celebrate because you personally put your name in there, were here 28 years earlier this morning? Church, this morning I challenge you. I challenge you to intentionally go. I challenge you with relevance to go. And I challenge you simply to go and make disciples, because that's what God's Word has instructed us to do as we go. I challenge you to fulfill Christ's great commission. Be an impressional church as we go today. Would you stand with me? We're going to enter our time of response. This is your time to respond to God and what God is speaking to you about. What is it that you need to do in your life to fulfill the Great Commission, to be that person that's going, as you're going, making disciples, that you're sharing with others, that you're doing whatever it is that God's called you to do, not just putting money in the offering plate, not just attending here, not just serving on committees here, not just attending meetings here, but what are you doing as you go? Father God, we come to you this morning praying that your Holy Spirit's had the freedom to speak to our hearts, to poke at us, to pierce us where we needed to be pierced, to convict us where we need to be convicted, each in our own lives, of the areas of our life where we need to be stronger in following you and dedicated, committed to you. Father, we come to you this morning realizing that the Great Commission is just that. It's a commission. It's our obligation to carry it out as believers. And realizing that the church in North America today is losing ground And it's not all because just the way the world's turning. It's turning that way because we've neglected our part. So help us each one individually to realize right here, right now, this moment, this hour, of what each one of us needs to do to improve our witness, to fulfill the Great Commission, about making disciples, bringing up disciples, about discipling someone else, calling someone this week that's in this church and saying, hey, would you be a disciple partner with me? Hey, could I help you to grow in Christ as you're a new Christian? Father, help us today to realize, to understand that we're standing at that gas pump. There's someone on the other side of that gas pump that may need to hear that you love them. Or we weren't in line at the grocery store, wherever we find ourselves, may we be obedient in fulfilling that Great Commission to share, to open our mouths and share with you, to use the other gifts that you've given us as well and our talents to help others, to show them that we care so that we have their ear to share with them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, for someone here today that is not certain of their eternity, where they will spend eternity, we know that your word says there's only two places, heaven and all gloriousness with you, or in a burning lake of fire called hell. Father, I pray that they would get that straight today before they leave this place, to come speak with me or Johnny or someone else that would be here to help them. Father, I pray that whatever it is that needs to be taken care of in our lives, that we would come, kneel at the altar, we'd just come and pray, or whatever it takes, that we would not just stand there, but we would follow in obedience, simple obedience, to follow you in all areas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You follow.